This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hello. Welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us on today's program. What I'm going to talk about today are peculiar people. Now, what do I mean by peculiar people? When I say that, you may think strange, off the wall, off the beaten path type of people. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. I'd like you to turn with me, if you have your Bibles handy, to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. And we're going to read about peculiar people there. In 1 Peter 2, 9, it says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, what does peculiar mean here in 1 Peter 2, verse 9? I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. If you look at an NIV Bible for peculiar people, it will put this there. It will say, a people belonging to God. If you look at the NASB Version of the Bible, it will say this in place of peculiar people. It says, people for God's own possession. So when we're talking about peculiar people, we are talking about people chosen of God, people that God possesses, people that God has kind of connected with in some kind of way. Now, what kind of way has God connected with these people? The Greek scholar Kenneth Woost says of this phrase, peculiar people, he says it means to make around. To make around. Now, what does that mean? Well, he goes on and he says, to make around means to make something and then surround it with a circle. It's as if you are putting these people in a circle of possession, of ownership over these particular individuals. Now, we want to investigate that phrase, peculiar people. We want to look at this idea of God encircling a particular people and try to understand what that means on today's program. What I want to do is I want to look at two questions on today's program. I want to look at the question of, if you are God's chosen people or God's peculiar people, how do you stay God's peculiar or chosen people? And the second question is this, if you are God's people, can you lose that connection to God? Can you go away from God if God has chosen you as a peculiar person to himself? Those are the questions we want to address today. But before we go into that, I want to offer you today some free literature and also a free CD. The literature I'd like to offer you today is a booklet entitled, The New Covenant, Does It Do Away with God's Law? Did Christ do away with the Ten Commandments? Was the law nailed to the cross? Are Old Testament laws about the Sabbath, clean meats, tithing, and annual holy days done away? Did Christ make Christians free from any obligation to obey God? Need Christians just believe on Christ, but need not fulfill the requirements of any of God's laws? Get this booklet, The New Covenant, Does It Do Away with God's Law, and learn more. We'd also like to offer you, again, free of charge, a CD titled Law and Grace in the New Testament. Get this CD and this booklet and learn more about this important subject. To get both of these items free of charge, call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Go to the website also to learn about our sermon webcast each Saturday, www.cgi.org. www.cgi.org. Again, I want to thank you for joining us on today's program. The topic of today's program is a peculiar people, and we're looking at two questions today. If you are a chosen person of God or a peculiar person to God, can you lose that chosen relationship you have with God? And how do you remain a chosen person of God? Now, what I'd like you to do in looking at these questions is I want you to think for a moment about Adam and Eve. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. I'm not going to turn there, but you probably know the story. Adam and Eve were the only people on the earth at one time. Would they have been God's peculiar or chosen people at that particular time? I believe that they would have. If they were the only ones around and he had a relationship with them, they would have been his chosen or peculiar people at that time. Now, what happened with Adam and Eve? Where did they go wrong? They disobeyed God. They went against God's wishes. They were not obedient to God. And what happened when they did that? They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. So think of the Garden of Eden as this protective circle that we were talking about in the first segment of today's program. God removed them from that protective circle, that garden that they lived in, because of disobedience. And I think we're starting to understand those questions, at least one of those questions that I brought up at the beginning of today's program. Now let's think a little bit more about this. What influenced Adam and Eve to move away from God? Satan influenced them. The serpent in the garden influenced them. And that serpent, Satan, continues to influence mankind in this world. He's been doing it for over 6,000 years of recorded history. What is going on here? When we look at the world today, we see chosenness in all kinds of different permutations and forms, but not God's chosenness, not God's way, not God's peculiarity. We see all kinds of other peculiarities in this world that come from Satan the devil. Let's just look back at human history. Let's think about various nation states throughout history. Did you know the ancient Chinese believed that they were a special chosen people? That everyone outside of their environs were barbarians? Did you know that the Japanese believed they descended from the sun? That they were a special race, different than any other races or peoples around them or in the world? We have these types of ideas throughout history amongst various nations and peoples and races, that we're special, we're different, we're better than others. Where does that attitude or mindset come from? It comes from, you guessed it, Satan the devil and his influences on this world. And we can see it today. We can see it among various gangs that are out there, whether they're narco trafficking gangs or street gangs in the United States, Bloods fighting Crips, various Latino gangs fighting other Latino gangs, because they all want to be chosen. They want to be connected to something, but Satan has corrupted us, and he's showing a chosenness that is the wrong type of chosenness, rather than the chosenness God wants us to be a part of. We even see this at the personal and family level. We see this with narcissism among various individuals in the world. I don't need to read you the newspaper articles about some of those folks in the world. We see this with a famous ball player who has the chosen one tattooed upon his body. Now, he was given that moniker by people before he took it upon himself, but we see this even on a personal level. People believing they're special, they're chosen, they're different. Now, I believe in chosenness in relation to God and what he says about it. But all these other examples I'm giving you are the wrong way to be chosen. They are the corruption that Satan has put into this world as we think about this concept of chosenness. Now, getting back to our questions that we had at the beginning of the program, one of them was, how do you stay chosen and peculiar to God? Let's take a look at what the Bible has to say about chosenness rather than the examples the world is showing us. In the Bible, going back to the time of the nation of Israel, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I want to show you an example of how Israel could have stayed chosen to God. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6, we read this. Listen to this familiar language in relation to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set this love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So here we see that God is talking about Israel as his holy people, as his chosen people amongst all these other people upon the face of the earth. But he gets even more specific here as we move through Deuteronomy. I wanted to show you the connection to that language in 1 Peter. But notice in Deuteronomy 14, another scripture in the book of the law, Deuteronomy 14 says the following in verse 1. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not cut yourselves nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. Now, who did this? The other peoples around them partook in these various types of activities, similar to what gang people are doing today, similar to that chosenness that I was telling you about that Satan has caused in the corruption of today's world. Notice verse 2, though. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. Notice where this phrase about being peculiar and special to God is interspersed. It's interspersed right in the middle of God's law. What did we read earlier in Deuteronomy 7? That's right in one of the books of God's law that God is saying, you're my chosen special people. And he's saying, do this, be obedient to me, follow this path rather than the paths of these peoples around you. My path is peculiar, it's unique, it's special. When you follow me and obey me, then you are my chosen people. Notice the reiteration in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 16. He repeats it again, Deuteronomy 26, verse 16. This day the Lord thy God hath commanded thee to do these statutes and judgments. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. And the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, you want to be my people? My peculiar, special, chosen people? Follow my commandments. Follow my will. Be obedient to me. That's how you stay chosen to God. That's how you stay within that circle that God puts around you, that God had provided in that paradise to Adam and Eve, but they chose differently. People throughout history have been choosing differently, but God states it simply as to what it means to be his chosen people and how to remain that way. Now, some say, well, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Testament. Christians today, it's different for them. But is it different? Remember, when we read 1 Peter 2, 9, that was in the New Testament, ladies and gentlemen. It's using that same language as we see here in the Old Testament. Let's take a look at some other scriptures about New Testament Christians. Over in Romans chapter 8, I'm going to pick it up there in verse 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says the following, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now get this. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, not to our carnal nature, not to sin, folks, but to live after, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you will live. We aren't to live according to the flesh. What is that? That's the sinful nature. That's the carnal nature. 1 John 3, verse 4, another New Testament scripture tells us, sin is the transgression of God's law. To be obedient to God, we got to follow His ways, His law, what He wants us to do in this world. This is the same thing that's preached in the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen. Look at it in Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. We'll see this mentioned again in Titus 2 and verse 14. It says this, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. There's that phrase again. Zealous of good works. A peculiar people zealous of good works. He wants to redeem us from what, does it say in Titus? From all iniquity, ladies and gentlemen. What is iniquity? It is sin. What is sin? It is the transgression of God's law. Do you see this theme running through the Old and New Testament as to how you're to operate if you're a peculiar person special to God? Notice back in 1 Peter. Back in 1 Peter, this time I want to look at chapter 1 and verse 2. Peter is writing this letter to Christians. Notice what he says to them. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience. Obedience, folks. New Testament. He's telling these Christians, you've got to be obedient. But obedient to what? Obedient to God, of course, to God's will, to God's law. Let me say it again. 1 John 3, 4, sin is the transgression of the law. You can't get around the simplicity of God's gospel message that He gives to us. Now, I think that answers our question, how do you stay chosen with God? How do you stay peculiar with God? You remain obedient to God and His will. But what about question two? Question two was, can you lose your chosenness? Can you lose your peculiarity with God? I say that you can. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 14. And we're not going to read this entire scripture. But in Luke chapter 14, it talks about a particular parable there, beginning in verse 15. And this is a parable of the kingdom. It says in Luke 14, 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now Jesus proceeds to tell them a parable. He tells them a parable that relates to God's kingdom. And this parable is about a man who was going to have a big banquet. And he invited all these people to his banquet. And some people made excuses as to why they could not come to the banquet. So what did this particular individual do? He told one of his workers to go out into the streets, go out into the alleys, and bring in other people. And these other people that he brought in were people that were considered outcasts, the lame, the maimed, the blind within that society. What is God saying in this parable? He's saying that God is making a calling to everybody. But if you don't choose that calling, He's not going to give it to you. You got to remain obedient to God. Israel did not remain obedient. What happened to them? The Babylonians took them over. The Assyrians took them over. You've got to remain obedient to God. We see that mentioned in this parable right here. You can lose that chosenness. And lest you doubt that, take a look over in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. Notice carefully what this says. Hebrews 6, 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. These people were Christians. And what happens? Verse 5. Notice what it says. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. What is this saying? If you're a converted Christian, you can fall away. That's what this is saying. He also reiterates this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Let me read it to you. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. Ladies and gentlemen, you can lose that chosen relationship you have with God. You can lose the peculiarity you have with God. And I don't want to be in that position. I don't want you to be in that position. But this brings up a bigger point. Who are God's chosen people? You know, we started off with that question, how do you stay chosen? What keeps you a chosen person? But who are God's chosen people? Because some people believe that it's only a small minority, a small group that God wants, that God is after. But that's not the message of your Bible. Let me just show you a couple scriptures. Turn with me to John 3, a very familiar scripture. John chapter 3, let's take a look at it for a moment, and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, For God so loved the certain country in the world? Certain people in the world? No, it says, So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What's God after? He's after the world. He's after everybody. He wants everyone to be His chosen people. The Bible is clear on that. And it's clear on that in a couple different places. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 on this same point. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Notice what it says there. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. And here's what we read there. 1 Timothy 2, 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants all men to be saved. And you see this over and over in many other scriptures. You see it in the book of Romans. You see it in the Old Testament, where God loved the alien and the stranger within the land. And if they obeyed, they could become part of the house of Israel even during Old Testament times. God wants to save all people. All people will have an opportunity to be God's chosen people, but at different times, because God has a master plan that He is working out upon the earth. And you need to find out as much about that plan as you can. One final scripture I'd like to point out to you is over in Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading there in verse 2. Isaiah 2 in verse 2 says, And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Many people shall go and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, we will walk in His paths. Everyone will have an opportunity to understand God's truth and have a choice to make as to whether they are going to be obedient to that or not. Your choice may be right now, ladies and gentlemen. Get this information that we've offered to you on today's program and find out more about being a peculiar people to God, a chosen people to God in this world that offers so many other choices, so many choices that corrupt the choice that God wants you to make. Keep in mind what the Bible has to say. Keep in mind what we've addressed on today's program about the choices that you need to make in your life as to whether you're going to be peculiar to God, unique to God, or that God of this world, Satan the devil. We want to thank you for joining us on today's program. Hang in there for a few moments. A colleague of mine is going to come on with some closing comments on today's program. But again, I want you to reiterate, get that free literature, get that free CD, and please choose God's way rather than Satan's way, because God wants you. Bye for now.
Admittedly, some of us may find Mike's subject today rather curious, but one thing was made clear by Mike. God does, in fact, have chosen people. However, we need to realize that upon being chosen, it is a great privilege, a privilege not to be squandered. As a matter of fact, Mike also made it very clear that in spite of the fact that we are chosen and called, we are at risk, unlike many in the past, such as the Chinese or the Japanese, who felt they were the children of the sun, or some of the street gangs in L.A., or perhaps even serial killers who claim they're special and God talks to them. The sad part about this is, my friends, it illustrates a major element in human nature. We all want acceptance. We all want to be part of something. The unfortunate aspect, though, about being a part of God is that it doesn't come natural. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul told us in the pages of one of his epistles that man is carnal, not spiritual. As a matter of fact, his spirit, his nature, is enmity toward God. Won't you let us help you to better understand how you can be chosen and maintain the position? Call now, 888-578-8791. Ask the operators for the offers there on your screen. A piece of literature that we want to give you free of charge called Law and Grace in the New Testament. And a one-hour presentation titled New Covenant. Does it do away with God's law? Because therein lies much of the controversy today. Is the New Testament in conflict with the Old? Do they cancel out each other? Are they adverse to one another? You need to know this information and how to balance the views of both Old and New Testament, because believe it or not, my friends, they complement one another. This is Bill Watson, reminding all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.